Esther chapter 4, verse number 16. And let's read together, shall we? Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. I'm going to talk to you this morning about a godly mother's courage. If I perish, I perish. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for Mother's Day 2016. Thank you, dear God, for the woman that we call our mom, who went to the gates of death to bring us forth into life. And I pray, dear God, that you'd bless the sermon this morning, bless these dear folks for being here. I pray that our minds would not wander, we wouldn't be distracted, we would not be a distraction. And dear God, I pray, Lord, that you would meet the needs here this morning. Please bless, dear Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to start reading in Esther chapter 4, verse number 10. Follow along, please, with me as I read out loud. Esther chapter 4, verse number 10. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Just a little backdrop here. No one was allowed to go in, as we read, to the king without prior permission from the king himself. If a person were to go to the king himself to present themselves before the king without permission, and the king did not wish to hear from them, it was off with their head. You lost your life. It did not matter who you were. Esther was the queen at this time, but that law applied to even the queen, ladies and gentlemen. Esther was Jewish, but she had not revealed that she was Jewish to anyone as of yet. Esther's cousin Mordecai was a street preacher. Had at one time heard that two men were planning to kill King Ahasuerus. When the king made an inquisition of the matter, those two men were hung and Mordecai's good deed was recorded. A man who later would hate Mordecai because of his preaching and because of his conviction was promoted and was advancing in the king's realm above all the other princes. His name was Haman. When Mordecai refused to bow to Haman nor did him reverence, the hot-headed Haman persuaded the king to sign a decree that all the Jews should be killed, since he knew that Mordecai was a Jew. What added salt to Haman's wound of hatred was that the king ordered Haman to do Mordecai honor by putting the royal apparel of Mordecai, setting the golden crown on his head and setting him on a horse, and then leading him on that horse through the streets, proclaiming to everyone as they were passing by that this is how the king honors those in whom he delights. The irony is that Haman thought that he was going to be the one that was going to wear that royal apparel, that royal crown set on his head, set on a horse, and be led through the city by someone proclaiming all through the streets of the city that this is the man held in high esteem by the king. So instead of Haman being on the horse and being held in high esteem, he was forced to lead his enemy Mordecai through the city, and Haman had to proclaim how good Mordecai was. This was infuriating to Haman, and even more so because already his already heated and passionate hatred for the man of God that Mordecai was. Haman planned and prepared a gallows to be built so that he could hang Mordecai on him because of the fact that this Jewish man would not bow nor do reverence to Haman. Don't forget, the king had already signed the decree and given it to Haman to have all the Jews killed. But the king did not realize that Mordecai and Esther were Jews. In Esther chapter 3, if you were to read one chapter before that, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them." That's an amazing statement. These Jews are not hurting anybody, but we have different laws than they have. Amen. We weren't out committing violence to any man's person. But because we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, our laws are different from the laws in this country, ladies and gentlemen. See, our laws from the Word of God are higher than this land's laws. And when this land's laws contradict the high laws of God, we must obey God's law. And just like back then with the Jews, today Christians are looked upon with disgust and hatred because we obey a calling higher than the United States government. I thank God for the United States. I thank God for the history of the United States. I thank God for the Constitution of the United States. And those men that framed the Constitution, those men that framed this republic, who had some decency about them and honored God. And whether they were saved or not, I know that they had reverence to the things of God and even to the houses of God and to the work of God and to the Word of God. But things have changed in America. And I dare say our rallying cry ought to be like Esther the queen said, "If I perish, I perish." Too many of us are too afraid of our own shadows, to be quite honest with you. Too many people are spineless today and are afraid to speak boldly and afraid to take a stand because it may not be popular. So when Mordecai finds out that wicked Haman was killing innocent Jews only because they were different, he could not control them. He immediately sends word to Esther to go before the king and beg his indulgence for her people to be spared. She says, "Fast for me, because if I perish, I perish." A few things to note here. Number one, most women today who profess to know Jesus Christ as their Savior would never have even qualified to be the queen as Queen Esther was. Too many so-called liberated and feminist women make up the ranks of too many Bible-believing churches today. For the most part, gone are the days where women of God were holy and pure and clean and meek and quiet. Now they want to be like a man. They now want a career. They now want to be the breadwinner. They want to do whatever a man does. You know, be president, Hillary. Esther was a quiet woman, keeping to herself, obeying what her cousin Mordecai had been teaching her, instructing her. Number two, Esther spoke when she needed to speak. As soon as her cousin Mordecai warned her of the impending doom, she said, "Pray and fast for me." She said fast, but it's inevitably true that they were all praying for those 3 days. She said, "Because if I perish, I perish." The time has come for many believers to wake up to the impending doom about to crush Bible Christianity in America. Mothers today are being intimidated by the Department of Social Services and Child Protective Services over disciplining their own children. The higher law of God states in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And too many women are heeding the laws of the land and of their city and their state and their county instead of God's laws. Number three, Esther did not care about losing her own life. It was that serious. There are certain things we should be willing to die for. Most everybody today is so afraid to speak and to take a stand for what is right for fear of being ridiculed and ostracized. If you are afraid to speak and to stand for that which is right, then you will never speak or take a principled stand if you think you're going to lose your life. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "The love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have pierced themselves with many sorrows." Most everyone in America wants to live a comfortable life with pleasures and the finer things of life instead of living a life pleasing to God. We have swept away from the people's minds the most important things of life. That is life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. If you save your life, you will lose it for Jesus' sake. But if you're willing to lose your life for Jesus' sake, then God will richly reward you here and in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 10:39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." I'd rather die early living for Jesus than living a long, comfortable life forsaking Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I know most people today in America have come from broken homes where both their parents were not in the home that they were growing up in. If you happen to live in a home with both your parents, you are now the exception. When a child grows up in a home where both parents do not live there, that child is missing an important ingredient of stability and comfort that they long for and search for. And even for those instances where both parents were in the home when that child was growing up, the results of the devastation of sin and wickedness has left its impact on those children. Alcohol and drugs and gambling and all other kinds of vice have left indelible marks in a child's mind that can never be erased in this lifetime. Those young children watching and learning how to mimic their parents start from an early age to copy the very same actions that their parents have taught them. Added on top of that, most children today are being herded to government schools where they are taught that there is no God who loves them, that they are here by accident, that life is not precious, it's just a big bang. Those same children are taught to not obey their parents. Those same children are taught to call in their own parents to the authorities if their parents were to spank them or be too strict with them or even yell at them. Then those same government schools teach these children about not only sex education in kindergarten, but they teach them in kindergarten that there is nothing wrong with being a sodomite. And there's nothing wrong with boys sleeping with boys and girls sleeping with... in kindergarten, I'm talking about. Then they listen to the music that the devil throws their way. They memorize words and music that are damning their lives to the garbage pile of society. They become rebellious and disobedient. They fight everyone, even themselves, and ultimately God. Satan walks away laughing at the job that he's done destroying lives. These children today have learned to hate authority. Two more police officers, you hear the story, in Mississippi were killed, gunned down in the last 10, 12 hours by two punks, two thugs. Again, and you're going to see it replayed over and over and over again. It's not because somebody's being picked on, ladies and gentlemen. It's because that's the result of your government education that's taught people to hate people. These children today have learned to hate authority. They hate the police. They hate the judges. They hate rules. They hate being orderly. They hate being neat. They hate being respectful. They are disrespectful. They hate anything and anyone that gets in the way of their lust and thirst for their sinful and wicked lifestyle. They now have learned to hate the word of God because it contradicts them. They learn to hate the preaching of God's word because now they have become their own God. They have learned to hate the God that they will stand before one day and give an account of everything they have said and everything they have done. And then the one who grew up in a stable home with both parents home, most of them were never members of an old-fashioned King James Bible-believing preaching church where they saw people saved and baptized on a continual basis, where there was never an outreach of trying to get people saved. Gone are the days that the average independent Baptist church was a place in town where people were taught how to be a soul winner, how to win people to Jesus Christ, and how to lead them to the Savior. Unfortunately, today, many churches have grown cold and self-centered, and they care more about themselves than they do about lost people dying and going to hell for all eternity. They care about their own few being holed up in a mountain somewhere in a bunker, keeping everybody safe instead of spreading the gospel to every single person.
What people need to know today is that there is a loving and merciful God who is waiting to shower people with his mercy and his forgiveness if they will only acquiesce and acknowledge their need of salvation. Jesus Christ is God Almighty, ladies and gentlemen. He's not a God, he's the God. He's not just a prophet, but the Son of God who rose from the dead to give everlasting life to those who trust him as their Savior. What you need is to soothe your wounds of your life is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the mercy and forgiveness of an almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's only Jesus who can soothe the wounds of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a time where most everyone is afraid of their shadows. They lack the courage to do that which is right. And because they lack the courage to do that which is right, in their minds and hearts, they begin to rationalize. And they use humanist rationalization to convince themselves and others that their cowardice is acceptable and even good and even to be honored. There was a time when hard work was honored. Today, it takes courage to work hard. You got to go against the grain. There was a time when loving God and trying to obey God was honorable. Today, it takes courage to love God and to obey him in the face of the onslaught of our society. There was a time when people lived right. Today, it takes courage to live right in your neighborhood with your family because you'll get ostracized and mocked and ridiculed up and down the whole block and even with your own relatives. There was a time when people were honest. Today, it seems like almost everybody is dishonest, and it takes courage because of the consequences and the results of being honest. There was a time when people took a principled stand when it was popular. But today, because it's unpopular, it takes a lot more courage today. There was a time when most people went to church when the doors were open. Now it takes more courage to go to church because people mock and laugh at people who go to a church today. There was a time when standing for truth was popular. Today it's very unpopular. There was a time when being old-fashioned was the norm. Today it takes courage to do so. There was a time when most all women acted and dressed like ladies. Today it takes courage to dress appropriately and modestly. There was a time when immodesty was the exception. Today, it's a vast majority when people walk down the streets in their underwear. It takes courage today to cover your bodies today. There was a time when mothers prayed with their children. Now, TVs and videos and Disney spend more time with the children than mothers do. There was a time when mothers read the Bible with their children. Now, the children know more about Disney and videos and cartoons than they do about Jesus Christ. There was a time when mothers prepared their children for church. Today, Hebrews 10:25 is just an obstacle that God puts in our lives to make it difficult for us to obey him. There was a time when mothers had their children memorize the Word of God. Now, children memorize songs that spew hatred against God and against authority and against parents. There was a time when mothers taught their daughters how to cook, how to bake, how to sew and clean and wash and iron. Those days are now gone just about. There was a time when the hand that rocked the cradle ruled the world. Now the hand with the remote and cigarette has ruined the world. There was a time when girls dreamed about marrying a hardworking man so they would be able to spend the rest of their life taking care of him. Now government schools are teaching lesbianism. There was a time when a mother was overjoyed with knowing she was carrying a newborn baby in her womb and about to deliver a brand new life within a few short months. Now she is told that it's just something to dispose of, and she is taught how to get rid of it in government schools. And you don't even have to tell your parents now. There was a time when a mother loved her husband and her children, and her children knew that she loved her husband more than anything else. Today, women are taught to love their children more than their husbands, and thus the children have learned to become the wedge that separates parents because a child is just that, a child. And a child will use anything they can at their disposal to gain the greatest advantage to them. There was a time when mothers loved God and loved the old King James Bible. She loved people. She was merciful and kind. She was sweet and loving. She was doting and submissive. She was tenderhearted and nurturing. Today, she drinks her liquor, cusses, swears worse than sailors. Today, her heart has become cold. Her conscience has been seared. She's independent. She's stubborn. She's rebellious. She's disobedient. We need women today like Esther, who would rather die doing right. Die a short life instead of waiting to see her grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Instead of going on vacation and spending time on her boat fishing or going on a splendid vacation. We need women like Esther who would be willing to die early if the cause arose, even if it cost them their very lives. The only way to do that is to love God supremely the way Jesus said. Countries and churches are likened to mothers. The church is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ that is supposed to bear children. And the church, if she loves her bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to obey him and bear as many children as possible. God said, be fruitful and multiply to the woman that he created. The same principle applies to the church, ladies and gentlemen. When the folks who make up the membership of the local church refuse to want to see people saved, they are playing the role of Jezebel, the rebellious, stubborn, backslidden woman, wife, who refuses to obey her husband. She wants to be in charge instead of God being in charge of her. My Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said in Matthew 23:37, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. God wants to see people saved. But the mentality of the average woman's feminist thinking today has rubbed off on the church. And the church today is just as stubborn to God as the women are in society today. Don't say no to Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. No Jesus, no peace. I said no Jesus, no peace. These people, these thugs who march down the street proclaiming no justice, no peace, they don't know anything about justice when you kill other people, ruin other people's personal property. They're the last person who knows anything about justice, ladies and gentlemen. Justice only comes from God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have justice without Jesus Christ. He is the judge. He is the one who you will stand before when you die. No Jesus, no peace. No peace of mind, no peace on earth, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know Jesus Christ? The song that we sang this morning, stand up for Jesus. It was written, composed and written after the man died by the man's friend. In the spring of 1858, a revival was taking place in Philadelphia. The movement grew out of midday prayer meetings coordinated by the Young Men's Christian Association. It may shock you, but that's what YMCA stands for. A minister came to be recognized as its leader, Dudley A. Ting, a young fellow. Though there was some controversy over his preaching, he was known and loved for his zeal for the work of God. After some leaders had gathered around him, a minister named George Duffield Jr. Got involved. On Tuesday, April 13, 1858, Reverend Ting, T-Y-N-G, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it Tying or Ting, was studying at his country home when he went to the barn to check on his mule, which was driving a machine that shelled corn. As he patted down the animal, the sleeve of his gown got caught on the cogs of the machine, and his arm was severely injured. The arm was soon amputated, and the wound became mortal, and Ting died the following week. This is one of the ministers involved in the revival going on. A young fellow, one young preacher. Before he died, however, he was asked by friends if there were any messages he would have that he would give to those who participated with him in the revival work. He began by saying, tell them, let us all stand up for Jesus. In the days and events following Ting's death, these final words were invoked several times and became a resounding exhortation to all who had been affected by his ministry. When George Duffield Jr. preached to his own congregation next week, he focused on Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore having fastened, having your truth, girt about, your loins girt about with truth. And concluded his sermon with a hymn that he had written. It began with a line, stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. He wrote, ye that are brave now, serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. He wrote, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Too many times, too many of God's backslidden, lazy believers hone in and focus in on the faults and errors, mistakes, and even sins of God's people, instead of realizing the great courage it takes to stand on the front lines for Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you, I commend every single person that ever comes to Grace Baptist Church. Of course, if you're here visiting for the first time, you may not come back again. I don't know. But the fact that you've come back again after you've heard sermon after sermon after sermon, I got to tell you, my hat's off. I tip my hat off to you because I've said a lot of things from this pulpit. And for you to show up on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, I could care less about what goes on in your life. The fact that you have the courage to show up on the front lines means a lot more to me than any problem that you're going through right now. Any heartache, any mistake that you've made, any sin that you have a problem with, any temptation that you're suffering with right now, that means very little to me. Because when you're on the front lines, you want the person in the fighting hole next to you shooting the right direction. You don't care about all the problems he's got. You just want him to shoot the right direction against the enemy. And the fact that you show up at this church, you embody the truth in the song, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer your loss. Ye that are brave now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, each soldier to his post. Close up the broken column and shout through all the host. Make good the loss so heavy in those that still remain and prove to all around you that death itself is gain. If I perish, I perish. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. I would hate for Esther to have more courage than me. I mean, being a man, I would hate for a woman of the queen to have more courage than a man to stand up for what is right. It would bother me and bother my conscience that Queen Esther would use the rallying cry, if I perish, I perish, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I say to you this morning, be not a coward. Take courage. Don't run from danger. Face it, because the next moment after death, you get to see Jesus face to face. Yes, we all want to live a longer life. Yes, we all want to enjoy the blessings of life. Yes, we all want to reach that time where we can retire, you know, and ride off in the sunset and enjoy our retirement and live a long, healthy, prosperous life and be with our grandchildren and maybe our great-grandchildren and enjoy the blessings and the beauty of life. Be honest with you, I'd rather have been in the Alamo. Be honest with you, I would rather have been at Fort McHenry. Be honest with you, I'd rather have been at Bunker Hill. Be honest with you, I'd rather have been in Iwo Jima. Be honest with you, I'd rather be where danger was. I wouldn't want it to be said, well, John Kalidas could have been there, but he chose not to have been there. Now, I couldn't have been at the Alamo. I couldn't have been at Iwo Jima. I couldn't have been at Concord or Bunker Hill. I couldn't have been at Fort McHenry. But I can be here where God wants me to be. I can stand for the truth here and say the same thing that Esther said, if I perish, I perish. I would hate to live a life knowing that I walked away from duty because it was scary or I was nervous or I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. As long as you love Jesus, that's all you have to worry about. Amen. That's all you have to be concerned about. If you love Jesus, you can be like Esther. If I perish, I perish. For the sake of my people, she said, I'm going to go. And she obeyed Mordecai, and she went to the king. The king could have killed her. But the king held out the royal scepter, and Esther prevailed. Hey, Christianity is soon to be outlawed, ladies and gentlemen. Step by step, it's being regulated. It's been ruled against. And soon, very soon, Bible Christianity is going to be in some history books. It won't be in the government history books, but only be in the past. And the liberties that you had coming to church and giving the gospel out, standing on a street corner and preaching, will all be gone, ladies and gentlemen. Because there are fewer and fewer men that would stand up and say, if I perish, I perish. They're more interested in their congregation, their church property. They're more interested in their retirement fund, their 401k. They're more interested in their parsonage. They're more interested in their salary and the church car that they've been given. They're more interested in people liking them and loving them than standing as a watchman on the wall in Ezekiel 33 and warning of the impending doom that's about to happen to God's people. I remind you that you are like Esther in your home. I remind you that you are like Esther in your neighborhood. I want to remind you that you are like Esther in your family, in your relationships, in your relatives. I remind you you are like Esther at your workplace. I urge you not to shirk your responsibility. Your mother went through the pangs of death, the pains of death, just about to bring you forth and deliver you into the world. And before really modern technology and modern medicine, you know a lot of women died in childbirth. You go to the old cemeteries now, you'll see women died when they were 18, 19, 20, 21. They died in childbirth or soon thereafter. And we take it for granted really what women go through to deliver a baby into this world. Well, I would, as a man, feel convicted. If Esther could stand knowing that she's possibly going to die, but for the sake of her people, she walked into the king, humbly, meek, and asked a petition of the king to hear her out. Ladies and gentlemen, I would say to you that it's time for God's people to say, if I perish, I perish. If I die a young age, that's how God wanted to be. That's fine with me. If God lets me live a longer age, that's good. If God wants me to go to a foreign country to be a missionary, if God wants called me to do something extraordinary, that's what I want to do for God. If I perish, I perish. Where are you in life today? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you died right now, if you perished right now, took your last breath, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Can you remember asking Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell? It's not that difficult to get saved. It's easy to be saved. You just have to renounce yourself. You have to get out of the way. You have to say no to yourself and say yes to Jesus. As I said earlier, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to save your soul today. If you died, if you perished without Jesus, what a sad, sad state that you'll be in for all eternity, burning in hell. All because you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're not saved this morning, I trust that you would trust him today. I plead with you. I beg with you to trust him today. Don't put it off. You could die while you're a teenager, boys, girls. Hey, you young people. You could die before something happened, before you get married, before you have children, before you have a family. You don't know. Hey, folks, in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, I say our motto ought to be, if I perish, I perish. And if you're going to die anyway, you might as well die doing right, amen, and standing for what's right, because that will be well-pleasing in God.
precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Let's all stand, shall we?